I'm Steve Potter, and coming up on Cityscape, the Black Rep's Ron Himes is here with a behind-the-scenes look at The Wiz. We'll also meet cast members Sophia Stevens and Cedric Neal. Opera Theatre of St. Louis opens its festival season tomorrow with Gilbert and Sullivan's The Pirates of Penzance. Soprano Deanna Braywick is Mabel. She joins us today, along with conductor Ryan McAdams and stage director slash choreographer Sean Curran. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Sean, this is one of four operas for this season. Will you explain how all that comes together?
Yes, the season is actually what we call a festival season, and that means that there's four different operas running in repertory. You might be able to see the Pirates of Penzance on one night and go see the double bill, which is Pagliacci and Il Tabarro, a night or two later. And then a night or two later after that, you can see one of the other pieces. So it's a very ambitious festival, full sets, costume, production values for each piece, but a lot happening in a short amount of time.
Is that done other places as much as it's done here?
It's done in several places. Santa Fe Opera is another famous festival, but Opera Theatre of St. Louis is really one of the best, and they're a real trendsetter and take great, wonderful artistic risks and have a wonderful, incredibly sophisticated product.
I think it sort of adds to the excitement of it. I don't know why, but it does.
Yeah.
Well, The Pirates premiered in New York in 1879. It was New Year's Eve, I think. It was one of 14 comic operas from Gilbert and Sullivan. They're popular then and popular now. What's the secret to their success, do you think? Anyone?
I've been getting this question a lot about why the collaboration between the two of them works so beautifully. And there's an old joke that says that the G and the S are not important. It's the ampersand in the middle that seems to make this work so beautifully. And I think it's because Sullivan was such a fabulous musician and such a great melody writer, but also he and Gilbert defines these characters so specifically in such different ways. I always think that Sullivan writes music for these characters sort of the way that they would want to be seen in themselves. It's always the most optimistic version of themselves. If you were to take out Gilbert's words, you know, you would hear a police force that was tremendously well-disciplined, or you would hear a major general who was knowledgeable and capable and young lovers, you know, pining away for each other. And then Gilbert's words come in, and it creates these marvelously not empty-headed people, but very funny, human, flawed people in the most sympathetic way. So I think, you know, when you put Gilbert's words in, all of a sudden the police become highly disciplined, but also hugely cowardly. Or the two lovers are being torn apart for very noble but illogical reasons. I think that the romance of the music and the ridiculousness of the operas reinforce each other effortlessly.
I know it's described often as topsy-turvy, which is kind of what you're saying, I guess, right?
I think so. I think that somehow they don't undercut each other, though. They don't work in antagonistically against each other. The more romantic the music becomes, the more ridiculous the show becomes. And the more ridiculous the show becomes, the more meaningful the music lands for us.
Any thoughts on that, Deanna? And I'm assuming you've done a lot of their work before.
I actually haven't. This is my first Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah. Mine too.
But
oh,
yeah,
really? Huh.
This piece is a real treat because you are dealing with such fun and ridiculous and at the same time very human subject matter. And the music is so beautifully written on every level. The orchestration of it, the vocal lines are just stunning and like medicine for the voice. It's like you can settle right into it as an opera singer because it is essentially a bel canto piece, the way the lines are written. Yeah, it's great fun and really beautiful stuff.
Well, Sean, before we go any further, why don't we sample some music? You brought along a recording. You can tell me where that's from. And we're going to start with the Major General song.
Yes, this is a famous Dolly Cart recording. And Dolly Cart, of course, was the company that originally did the Gilbert and Sullivan productions. So there's some authenticity to this recording. We, of course, have our fresh take and spin on it. But this will give you an idea of what maybe it sounded like when they first started doing it.
I am the very model of a modern Major General. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England and to quote the fights historical from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I am very well acquainted too with matters mathematical. I understand equations both the simple and quadratical. About polynomial theorem, I am teeming with a lot of news. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings and animalculus. In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general. I know our mythic history, King Arthur's and Caradox. The answer how the acrostics have a pretty taste for paradox. In court, in elegiacs, all the crimes of Helicabalus. In conics, I can flow peculiarities parabolous. I can tell undoubted Raphael some Derrida's and Sophonies. I know the croaking chorus from the frogs of Aristophanes. And I can hum a fugue of which you've heard the music's dinner for. Dinner for. Ha-ha! And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense, Pinafore.
And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense, Pinafore. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense, Pinafore. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense, Pinafore.
Then I can write a Washington Babylonic uniform and tell you every detail.
And the Pirates of Penzance opens Opera Theater's new festival season. All the performances run through, I guess, the end of June. We're talking with director and choreographer of Pirates, Sean Curran, Ryan McAdams, the conductor, and soprano Deanna Braywick. And, you know, some people debate how important the plot of an opera is. Some people say it's not that important. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
It's important to our opera. And, in fact, it's important that you try to hear, understand, and listen to and hear, I know that's a long list, the words, because the words are so brilliant. The rhyme schemes, the wonderful irony, the paradox in our show, there's a song just about that, paradox. Mm-hmm. So part of the virtuosity of the performers is getting all that information out in this incredibly rhythmic and difficult music. And it's a piece you have to really show up for. If you're coming to the audience, lean forward and have a good listen.
Well, you say it's important to hear the words. That's easy to do with opera theater, of course, because we should point out it's sung in English.
It is sung in English, and the music is the motor. It's a very beautiful motor, but this, you know, I come from the dance world, and we joke, this is like their triple tour de force to the knee, yes? This is really wonderfully difficult and work that needs to be incredibly well articulated, because there's so much humor in the words, and it's a big part of it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the plot then. Deanna, you play Mabel.
I play Mabel, yes.
And who is she?
Mabel is one of many sisters. All daughters.
Four or five, right?
About,
is there more than that?
In our show, we have 13.
It's a big family. And the Major General is our father. So we're out on a romp in the countryside one day near the ocean. And Frederick, who has just left his life as a pirate, we encounter him on the beach. And Mabel and Frederick instantly fall in love. And that introduces Mabel.
Well, Frederick's in sort of a weird thing, all because of his birthday.
Yes.
Right. That doesn't become a big plot point until the end. He was apprenticed to these pirates through an error. I won't spoil it for those who don't get the joke, but if you are hard of hearing, you might end up spending your life on a pirate ship instead of something more respectable. But he is now out of his indentures that day and suddenly sees women for the first time in his life. And
well, that's because he's just used to one woman, right? He only has one woman to compare that to.
Yeah, his nurse.
And she leads him to believe that she's very attractive.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And she's not.
Gilbert, nothing was funnier to Gilbert than a 47-year-old woman. It was absolutely the pinnacle of comedy for him.
Uh-huh. And how about the pirates themselves?
The pirates are...
They're not very good at pirating, are they?
They're not. No. And in fact, you find out at the end of the show that they were once noblemen. But as the Pirate King says, he feels what he does, even though once in a while it involves a bit of stealing. It's actually more noble than a lot of the work that maybe politicians might do. So, you know, it's a case where it's an opera from a long time ago, but it still speaks to our current state of affairs today. And, you know, I like to say it's art doing its job. It reminds us to question authority, I think, and sort of laugh through the tears at the predicaments you might find yourself within.
Ah, leave me not. Deanna, this involves your character, right?
Yes. At this point in the opera, again, all in one day, Frederick and I have fallen in love, and then we've also found out that our love cannot be, and we're being torn apart because of circumstances beyond our influence. So we sing this song, essentially just saying goodbye to each other, and we've at last found happiness, and must we part now so soon?
Thank you.
Opera Theater of St. Louis opens its festival season tomorrow night with Pirates of Penzance. Sean, maybe you want to mention the other offerings you have.
Yes, there is what we're calling the double bill, where you get two operas in just 2 hours. They're 2 one-act operas, Pagliacci and Il Tabarro. Great stories of longing, regret, love, hope, all that good stuff that makes for good opera. Champion is actually a world premiere. It's by Terence Blanchard with a libretto by Michael Christopher. It's directed by Opera Theater's artistic director, Jim Robinson.
That one's getting a lot of attention, isn't it?
As well it should. It's very exciting. It's not often you get a world premiere of a brand new opera by a multi-Grammy award-winning composer.
And it tells a true story.
It tells the true story of Emile Griffin, a boxer, who actually came from the Caribbean as a teenager to find his mother, who'd come to New York to work and worked in the garment district and was recognized by a man who owned the factory as having a great body that could be a good boxer's body. He worked his way up to be the welterweight champion of the world, of America rather, and had a fight where he actually knocked a man out and unfortunately killed him, not through any wrongdoing or malice. And he lived with that regret for the rest of his life. And at the end of the life, had a chance to seek forgiveness from this man's son, who was just a 2-year-old. A very poignant, true story that's told brilliantly through this jazz idiom. Jazz St. Louis is a big part of the commissioning. There'll be jazz musicians with the St. Louis Symphony, and it's very exciting. That's Champion. And then finally, The Kiss, a Smetana piece that is directed by Michael Giletta, a European director making his debut. And it's wonderful, beautiful music, Eastern European kind of flavor. A very simple story about a man whose wife has died and she's left him with a tiny baby and he has to find a new wife. And they're supposed to kiss to signify this upcoming wedding. And the woman refuses because she doesn't want to disrespect the wife, and all sort of cultural and social problems happen. And I'll leave it to the singers to show you the end when you come to the opera.
And Ryan, as conductor, we should mention that you're working with members of the St. Louis Symphony.
It's one of the great joys of being at Opera Theater of St. Louis is that the musical forces on every level are so high. It's an extraordinary place. And in the pit every night is the St. Louis Symphony, really an unparalleled orchestra playing this amazing variety of styles and seemingly switching between them effortlessly.
Uh-huh. And Deanna, what's your history with opera theater?
I was actually here last year, and I was Joanna in Sweeney Todd with Stephen Lord. And actually, Opera Theater offered me my very first contract several years ago for this show. So yeah, this show has a very special place in my heart as being the very first professional gig that I ever got as an opera singer.
And Sean, before we go out, could we go out with one final piece with Cat-Like Tread?
Yes, this is a piece that's well known. If you know anything about Gilbert and Sullivan, it's sung by the Pirates. It's a real number. You don't often have numbers in opera, but we've made this into a great piece. The young artists and our Pirate King and our Frederick, they actually become triple threats here. They don't just sing, but they dance and they act and they play comedy.
Opera Theater of St. Louis opens its festival season tomorrow night with Pirates of Penzance. We've been talking with director and choreographer Sean Curran, with Ryan McAdams, the conductor, and with soprano Deanna Braywick. And just briefly, we should mention it's really a lot of fun. There are picnics that people like to partake out front of the Loretto Hilton before and sort of a meet and greet after.
Yes, not only a meet and greet afterward, but a champagne toast after every performance. There's still tickets available for opening night, which is tomorrow. We have a family performance on June the 14th. Families can join in a pirate party. And Young Friends Night is next Wednesday, May 29th.
Thank you, Sean. It's great to see you again. Ryan McAdams, say hi to your father, Jerry. We know him from his theater work around town.
Oh, I'm sure he's listening with bated breath right now.
And Deanna Braywick, nice to meet you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you
all.
Thank you so much.
Coming up next on Cityscape, we ease on down the road with The Wiz. This is St. Louis Public Radio.